Let's pray. Lord, it is your word for us, your people. And we know that we have to come to terms with you. To believe that nothing is impossible with you is a challenging thing for us, God, because we far too often want to manage or make life go a certain way for ourselves. As a matter of fact, we confess today on this last Sunday of the year that we have probably done it way too often during the year of 2008. So would you help us, O God? Help us to trust you. Help us to truly believe with our heads and know in our hearts and act in ways that say, nothing is impossible with you. We are, Lord, perched on the edge of an interesting time. You know better than we do. And in our situation, as a country, as a world, as a congregation, you know exactly what is in store. So we're grateful that you do. And we will do our best to trust you. In the meantime, would you help us, Lord, to see those that are hungry so that we might help them, those that are thirsty so that we might give them a drink? Would you help us to see in the eyes of our friend, our neighbor, the pain or struggle that they're going through so that we can love them the way that you would have us love them, with your love, which is eternal? We thank you, O God, for this warm place to meet. We thank you, O God, for the strength you gave us during the holiday season, and we ask that you continue to do the same. Be with those from our own congregation who struggle, who suffer. Be with all of us, since we all do in some way struggle. Help us, Lord, to see past our situation and to see you. Help us to trust you today and every day. Help us to surrender completely, to let go of thinking or acting as if we are in charge, and to let you be in charge of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to even stop for a minute and hear your word, to know that nothing is impossible with you. In your name we pray. Amen. Did we get your attention? Well, if not, I'm going to try with this. Did you all know that in northern Indiana, we don't play football with a football, we play it with a basketball? Or at least that's what I'm telling you, since when I got up this morning, my kids are still up in Elkhart. They took the football and did exactly what I said to not do. They put it in a place where I couldn't find it. So I need some volunteers this morning. Katie, come on up. Yeah, come on, Katie. I'm not going to take no for an answer. Come on, right up here. All right, let's see. Who else is out there? Yeah, come on, Kenny. Come on up here. Kenny's back there. Is somebody going to operate sound while you're up here? All right, don't be embarrassed.
Sorry, I'm too late.
Okay, too late. All right, well, today I'm going to attempt to do a sort of New Year's sermon. And the main illustration for this is go long, okay? Now, the interesting thing about going long is that you can't just say, like Steve said earlier, go long. You have to say, go long to your player. Now, the thing that I believe about going long is this. When the quarterback you guys need to listen carefully at this point, okay? That's going to be your only instruction, all right? When the quarterback throws the football to a person who is going long, there's an extremely important thing that they must do that I believe God does as well. They do not throw the ball to the place where the person is when they let go of the ball. They throw the ball to the place where they expect the receiver to be when the ball arrives. All right? It's not a very hard concept. Pretty easy. So we're going to have Kenny be the quarterback, and I'll hike the ball, and I want you to run what I call a pattern, okay? All right, and here's what you got to do. I want you to start here. This is your pattern. Start there. And when I hike the ball on, or when the ball is hiked on two, okay, you can have fun with that, whatever you want to do. And I want you to run over towards that farthest Christmas tree, because when he throws the ball, that's where he's going to expect you to be to catch it, okay? All right. On two, when he says two, that means start running.
I can't run before that?
No. That would be offsides or illegal motion or something like that with the basketball. All right. I'm going to bend it. Please don't be offended over on this side. I'll bend this way. Okay. Okay. You're over here, Kenny. Over here. No, I'm just not going to bend or I don't split my pants. All right. Anybody watch SpongeBob split your pants? All right. All right. That's good. I will not embarrass you any further. Thank you. Katie. Let's hear for Katie. Kenny. It's kind of a simple concept in a way to trust God. It's pretty easy, really, when you think about it. We don't have to think very far to just say, God, I need you, and God, I will trust you in the year 2009. Interesting thing about that, though, is we all run various patterns in our life. Katie did a great job of running that pattern. I'll call it a slant or go long slant. I don't know. Sounds good to me. We run these patterns, and God says, go ahead and do it, and do it with faith, because even though you don't know for sure, because you have to have faith that the ball's going to be there, just trust me, God says, trust me, I will throw the ball, and it will arrive when you get to the place that I need you or want you to go. Wow. Interesting stuff. I wish I could have gotten it better than showing up with a basketball. But God calls us to all be running a certain pattern in our life. And God wants us to not only run that pattern for His sake, but for our sake. And if we don't run it, if we don't run the pattern and go long, then we'll spend our time in the huddle, or our lives in the huddle or on the line, way too much time. Now, the interesting thing about that is I've learned to not engage in making too many predictions. Like, for instance, I used to predict that in the new year, I would begin and maintain an exercise program. And what I found is that I can do all the predicting I want in areas such as that, but I fall short. So thankfully, God is a gracious God. But predicting too many things, having faith in foolish or silly sorts of things, is something we need to be careful with. However, there are things that we need to have faith on. We probably know what they are in our lives right now. We need to have not more faith, but we just need to simply have faith. There's a difference between the two, having faith and not having faith. We need to do that. In 1926, Lee DeFrost, the inventor of the cathode ray tube, was quoted as saying this, 1926. He said, "Theoretically, television may be feasible, but I consider it an impossibility, a development which we should waste little time dreaming about." The fellow who invented the cathode ray tube. In 1943, Thomas Watson, chair of the board of IBM, said, "I think there is a world market for about five computers." Five computers. The chair of the board of IBM. And in 1926, a recording company executive said, "We don't think the Beatles will do anything in their market. Guitar groups are on their way out." Amazing. Well, we can face the future in a couple of different ways. And like I said, I try to not make too many predictions. I leave the future, we should leave the future, up to God. So making predictions isn't necessarily what I'm suggesting we ought do this morning, but the scripture does make it clear that we can face the future with confidence or with a sense of foolishness. Let's start with foolishness. Now, the idea or the definition of foolishness in scripture is acting in such a way that we, now if we're a follower of Christ, acting in such a way that we leave God out of the planning process or the sense that the future is secure or that all things are possible with God. Scripture makes it clear that it's foolish to try to think that we will arrive at some place in the future able to sort of manage our route or our pattern to that point in the future without God and it be good. As a matter of fact, it's described in the Bible as foolishness. So making sure that we trust God is an extremely important thing because foolishness leads to a false sense or a false notion of self-reliance. We can manage this life on our own. We can do just fine. As a matter of fact, we can spend the largest percentage of our time planning the future without God and still be okay. In the Bible, it says very clearly that that is foolish. Another thing that is foolish when it comes to facing the future unafraid is this, or facing the future with fear. The Bible says that's a foolish thing to do as well. Scientists tell us that when we're born, there are only two innate fears. Other fears are developed over time or are learned behaviors. The two innate fears are falling and loud noises. I didn't know that till I was reading for this sermon. Falling and loud noises. I'm guessing those are survival sorts of things that God has put into us. The other fears we develop from experience, being leery of traveling down a dark corridor by ourselves. Maybe that's a survival thing as well, but it is a developed thing. Now, there are all kinds of things that we could fear. For instance, a thing called areophobia is a fear of drafts. Do you have a fear of drafty places? It's called areophobia. How about this one? Catophobia is the fear of hairy people. Do we have any hairy folks around, you know? How about porphyrophobia, the fear of the color purple? I think we have some purple claws. Does anybody feel themselves afraid by looking at those purple claws? It's actually a fear. How about this? Levophobia, the fear of the left side of the body. These are defined fears. How about aurorophobia? Anybody want to take a guess on that? Aurorophobia. The fear of the northern lights. Aurorophobia. How about this? Thalassophobia. The fear of being seated. Do you find yourselves afraid right now in the seated position? How about this? Well, maybe this one. Stabibasophobia. The fear of standing and walking. Now, I sort of have a version of this. It's called odontophobia, the fear of teeth. Mine is the fear of dentists. I don't like to go to the dentist. And then this one, graphophobia, the fear of writing and or being in public. And this last one, phobophobia, the fear of being afraid. Franklin Roosevelt said, the only thing that we have to fear is fear itself. That quite literally in life, the only thing, and I believe this, that we have to fear is fear itself. There's nothing to be afraid of. So what if she dropped the ball? You run the route anyway. So what if the pass was not so bad? You throw the ball anyway. What if she had tripped and fallen on her face? She'd never come to church again, but we would feel okay about it, and we would tell her for the rest of her life what a great job she did, wouldn't we? Because she got up and did it with much arm twisting. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, declares the Lord." And the Lord makes it clear that faith requires that we do a whole bunch of stuff in life without being able to determine the outcome or manage the outcome in such a way that we make it happen. Rather, God makes it happen. To let go and to trust God completely in the year 2009. I got to tell you, faith is the most exciting thing that I've ever had a chance to experience. I don't know about where you are and your walk of faith or your life with God, but I struggle with this sense of faith that occurs in much of the 21st century church that has so over-domesticated or watered down faith that it's not exciting at all. Because the faith that I experience is the most thrilling, exhilarating thing that's going, that I've ever had the chance to go through or be in life. And I like to do exciting things. I was telling some folks this past week, when it wasn't too bad, the weather wasn't too bad, my kids were outside. We make our kids go outside and play and hope that they get in some sort of trouble on occasion, because then they're at least trying to do crazy things rather than having a life that can be completely managed in a PlayStation 2 or 3 box. So I decided that I'd do something. I read through the rules at the Parsonage or in the Southern View Housing Development, just to make sure I didn't break the rules. I actually this summer went out and bought a swimming pool, and before I set it up, I found out you can't have one, so I took it back, so I do abide by the rules somewhat. But one of the rules that says you can't do this certain thing in Southern View Housing Development is there are no clotheslines that are allowed. You can't put up clotheslines to dry your clothes. I'm okay with that. But I did decide that a zip line in the backyard of the parsonage was not a clothesline, and that a cable running the entire length of the parsonage backyard would be a really fun thing for the kids. Y'all aren't laughing. Woo! It's pretty fun when you look out the kitchen window and all you see is a kid go, woo, across the backyard, and their legs aren't moving at all. Woo! It's not too high, so I'm pretty sure. Claude, I think we're covered for insurance on things like that. I think we are. It says in the Bible, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, declares the Lord." The type of faith that God is calling us to in 2009 will require that we take risks. We put ourselves out there. We go long. Now, being foolish in regard to how we do that is an important thing to discuss. However, I would say, given how reserved many 21st century Christians are, and how the church in America, for the most part, is struggling and nearly dying, I say, for lack of faith in God, it would be appropriate, since that is the case, that we exist in a congregation that tries to tilt that back another direction, by being absolutely insane in regard to how much faith we might have. I guess what I'm suggesting is that we might try to draw back or draw away from the sort of careful, researched, little faith ways of doing things here and even in our lives, and might jump into the unknown, trusting that God will catch us when we fall into that place. Anybody excited? I am. The first thing that we have to do is we have to have everybody come over to the parsonage and get on the zip line, okay? You have to get on the zip line. There is one little issue, though. I'm not sure how to stop the zip line thing. You're not laughing again. Man's thinking says that the greatest among us is the most prominent. God says that the greatest among us will be a servant. man's thinking says that the goal should be to acquire things, and the person with the most toys at the end wins. What a boring, ridiculously wasted life, honestly. Honestly. God says the goal should be to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Man's thinking says it is impossible for a virgin to give birth. But God says, with Him, all things are possible. Have faith in 2009. Don't worry about it. Go long. Go long. And expect that when you arrive at the place where God wants you to be, the ball will land right in your hands, and God will be right there for you. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for the ways that you have helped us in life, and we repent for having believed that we have made it to this place, to this point in time, without your graciousness and care, without your love and direction. And so, Lord, you've granted, it appears at least, you've granted us at least a few more days in the year to come. And we will not be found wanting when it comes to trusting you and having faith. Help us, Lord, to let go and let you take over, to run the route, the pattern that you've called us to run, and to trust that you will be with us all the way. We would love, Lord, to receive your grace and mercy. We would love that. We've gotten it before. We'll take it again. In your name we pray. Amen.